Hi, I'm Tom. Grateful believer in Jesus Christ and finding victory over my glossophobia. That's the fear of public speaking. My wife would say, "What? He's not afraid of speaking in public?" I guess I'm not afraid of speaking. But I am afraid of trying to read without glasses. We are looking tonight at Lesson 8. The lesson's called Moral, that's the acrostic, and it's the preamble, really, to the inventory lesson coming up. Let's start by reading the principle and the step and their corresponding scripture verses. Let's read them together out loud. Principle 4, I can't hear you. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart. Perfect. Step 4, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. Tonight we're going to really dig into the beginning of the growth process in our recovery. Now, even though Principle 4 may bring some growing pains with it, tonight we're going to look at some steps to help minimize the pain and maximize the growth. After all, my workout mantra is no pain, no pain. I wish I could say that you can escape the pain of your past altogether by going around it or jumping over it, not that I jump over anything. But the only way I know of to get rid of your pain of the past is to go through it. It has been said that we need to use our past as a springboard, not a sofa, as a guidepost, not a hitching post. I know some of us might spend our lives proofing the past, protesting the present, and perturbed about our prospects. They, of course, are not progressing very well in their recovery. But by coming tonight, you have chosen to continue in your progress. So keep on coming, keep coming back. And if you choose to embark on the adventure of self-discovery that begins with Principle 4 and continues through Principle 5, I can guarantee you there will be some growth. Principle 4 begins the process of coming clean. Pastor Rick Warren calls our condition truth decay. It is here that we openly examine and confess our faults to ourselves, to God, and to another person that we trust. We chip away and clean out all that decay of the past that has built up over the years and has kept us from really seeing the truth about our past and present situation. You may be wondering, how do I do this thing called moral inventory? And the word moral tends to scare some people. But really, the word moral simply means honest. In this step, we need to list or inventory all the significant events, both good and bad, in your life. You need to be as honest as you can be to allow God to show you your part in each event and how that affected you and others. I have been in the recovery process here at Celebrate Recovery for over 18 months. In fact, 2 years in April. So it was about a year ago in my 12-step course that I faced my first moral inventory. And yes, I think the word was used earlier tonight, it was daunting. But as far as I can tell, I survived it. To this day, and I'm one who avoided all my life journaling anything, but to this day, I have successfully kept a daily inventory and prayer journal tracking my good and bad through each day, and giving it over to my Lord and Savior with my heartfelt love and gratitude for His forgiveness, His love, and His ongoing shepherding. If you can keep your focus on the Lord and His healing, He will help you get through this process. Tonight's acrostic will explain the five things you need to know to make a moral inventory. Makeovers really are lame. Oh, no, wait, wrong notes. Let's just do a letter-by-letter review. First, you need to make time. Schedule an appointment with yourself. Set aside a day or a weekend and get alone with God. God tells us in Job 33:33, "Listen to me, keep silence, and I will teach you wisdom." Notice that it is not T for take time. It works best when you intentionally make time by scheduling yourself in and sticking to it. The next letter in moral is O, and it stands for open ourselves up. Remember when you were a child and you would visit the doctor or the dentist, and the doctor would say, "Open wide," in that funny sing-song voice, and the taste of that stick? Well, we need to open wide our hearts and our minds to allow the feeling that the pain of the past has blocked or caused you to deny. Denial may have protected you from your feelings and repressed your pain for a while, but now it has also blocked and prevented your recovery from your hurts, hang-ups, and habits. You need to open wide to see the real truth. Then once you have seen the truth, you need to express it. And here's what Job had to say about being open. "Let me express my anguish. Let me be free to speak out of the bitterness of my soul." That's Job 7:11. Perhaps the following questions will help you wake up your feelings and get you started on your inventory. Ask yourself, what do I feel guilty about? The first thing that came to your mind is probably what you need to address first in your inventory. Do you know and understand the God-given purpose of guilt? God uses guilt to correct us through His Spirit when we are wrong, and that's called conviction. Sometimes conviction hurts, but don't confuse conviction with condemnation. Romans 8:1 tells us, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Once we have made the decision to ask Jesus into our hearts, once we confess our wrongs, accept Christ's perfect forgiveness, and turn from our sins. Now, I'm going to stop a moment and reemphasize those active verbs. Made the decision, ask Jesus into our hearts, confess our wrongs, accept Christ's perfect forgiveness, turn from our sins. As far as God is concerned, at that point, guilt's purpose, which is to make us feel bad about what we did in the past, is finished. But we like to hold on to it and beat ourselves over the head repeatedly with it. That's condemnation. But it's not from God. That comes from ourselves or some other sources. Principle four will help you let go of your guilt once and for all. Another question you may need to ask yourself is, what do I resent? Resentment results from burying our hurts. And if resentments are then suppressed, left to decay, they cause anger, frustration, and depression. What we don't talk out creatively, we act out destructively. Another big question that you may need to openly ask during this step is, what are my fears? You can look at me and tell, personally, I have a fear of going to the gym. Remember, no pain, no pain. I don't like to display my need for the gym. I don't like to display my non-athleticism. I don't like to sweat. But when I'm done with my workout, I actually feel a lot better. I'm not tired, but exhilarated. Fear prevents us from expressing ourselves honestly and taking an honest moral inventory. Joshua 1:9 tells us, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go." Next on the list of hard questions to ask yourself, am I trapped in self-pity, alibis, or dishonest thinking? Or Danny would call it stinking thinking, right, Danny? Remember, the truth does not change, your feelings do. These questions are only the beginning of your inventory, but don't get discouraged, because the next letter is R, which stands for rely on God. Do you remember WWJD? Do you remember there was a smaller fad called Frog? A little button said Frog. Fully rely on God. If you rely on Jesus to give you the courage and strength this step requires, you're on good foundation. Here's a suggestion. When your knees are knocking, it might help settle them by kneeling on them. Isaiah 40:29 tells us that the Lord gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. You can do this with his help. Even soar on wings of eagles, which is what Isaiah says two verses later. Before we go any farther, I want to remind you that the principles and the steps are in order for a reason, and not just to have cute acrostics. You need to complete principle 3, which is turning your life over and your will over to God, before you can successfully work principle 4. Once you know the love and power of the one and only higher power, Jesus Christ, there is no longer any need to fear this principle. Psalm 31:23-24 tells us, "Oh, love the Lord, all of you who are his people, for the Lord protects those who are loyal to him. So cheer up, take courage if you are depending on the Lord." And remember, courage is not the absence of fear, it's the conquering of it. Now you're ready for the A. Analyze your past honestly. To do a searching and fearless inventory, you must step out of your denial, because as we all know, denial is not just a big river in Egypt, right? We cannot put our faults behind us until we face them. You must look through your denial of the past to find the truth of the present, your true feelings, motives, thoughts, and as Obi-Wan Kenobi would have said, dark side. Proverbs 20:27 says, "The Lord gave us mind and conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves." And to misquote a nursery rhyme, I'm hiding, and no one knows where. All they can see is my nose and my hair." Not very effective, is it? Some of you heard the word analyze and got fired up because you love to pick apart the details of a situation and look at events from all angles. Others of you have broken out into a cold sweat at the thought of analyzing anything. So for those of you with hearts aflutter and for those of you with palms clammy, listen closely as we talk about the L. In moral, list. Your inventory is basically a written list of the events of your past, both good and bad. Balance is important. Let me say that again. Balance is important. Seeing your past in print brings you face to face with the reality of your character defects. Your inventory becomes a black and white discovery of who you truly are, way down deep. But if you look just at the bad things of your past, You will distort your inventory and open yourself to unnecessary pain. We said Lamentations 3:40 earlier, comes with a step. Let us examine our ways and test them. The verse doesn't say just examine your bad, negative ways. You need to honestly focus on the pros and the cons, the good and the bad of your past. I know people who have neglected to balance their inventory and have gotten stuck in their recoveries. Or even worse, they judged the program to be too hard or too painful and stopped their journey of recovery altogether, and they slipped back into their old hurts, hang-ups, and habits. Another important word of caution: do not begin this step without a sponsor or a strong accountability partner. And I might say both. You need someone you trust to help keep you balanced during this step, though not to do the work for you. Only you can do the work. But you need encouragement from someone who will support your progress and share your pain. That's what this program is all about. In a couple weeks, we will look a little closer at the inventory actual, which actually isn't an acrostic lesson. Now, don't fear. Remember that word? I have an acrostic for fear, too. Feeling exasperated and ravaged. I say, don't let fear build up over the process of doing this self-examination. It's not an easy-peasy assignment, but it's a very valuable experience. Well worthwhile, when properly guided and supported by like-minded support team. Keep in mind that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Or as Ralph Waldo Emerson said, what lies behind us and what lies ahead are small matters compared to what lies within us. And as Christopher Robin said to Pooh, promise me you'll always remember you're braver than you believe and stronger than you seem and smarter than you think. Thank you.